When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
I'm a governance geek. I'm not quite sure how this happened to me. I'm sure this is not the result of how my parents raised me, but really going back 25 years, I got really fascinated in the work of boards of directors and senior leaders of organizations, how those individuals could collectively make decisions that kind of impact the outcomes for the rest of us. And so I just really started on this journey.
That was Dottie Schlindlinger. This is Tom Fox, and welcome to the award-winning FCPA Compliance Report. Dottie is the executive director of the Diligent Institute, and we visit about her journey as a geek in corporate governance, the Diligence Institute, and ESG and boards right now. I know you'll enjoy this episode. Are you interested in the intersection of Sherlock Holmes and compliance? If so, check out my great new podcast series, Adventures in Compliance, where I go through each story.
But I'm thrilled today to have Dottie Schlindlinger with me. Dottie is with the Diligent Institute. Dottie, first of all, welcome and thank you so much for taking the time to visit with me.
Oh, thanks, Tom. It's so great to be here with you. I'm excited to have this conversation.
I have looked forward to this for quite some time because I really want everyone to know about the Diligent Institute, the great work you're doing, and the great resources you guys have. But before we get to that, could you tell us a little bit about your professional background?
Sure, I'm happy to. I think probably the best way to describe it, Tom, is I'm a governance geek. I'm not quite sure how this happened to me. I'm sure this is not the result of how my parents raised me, but really going back 25 years, I got really fascinated in the work of boards of directors and senior leaders of organizations, how those individuals could collectively make decisions that kind of impact the outcomes for the rest of us. And so I just really started on this journey early in my career of working in and around boardrooms in basically every role you can think of. Fast forward to today, where I am within Diligent Corporation is running this governance research arm and think tank for the company. So Diligent Corporation is a software company, and our Diligent Institute is really about doing research on what's happening in boardrooms around the world. What are some of the trends? What are some of the things that board members need to know? And then provide information and resources for them to be able to do those things effectively. So it's great because it's something I'm really personally passionate about, but also it's been the center point of my career.
When you can wed your passion to your geekness, it doesn't get much better than that.
Agreed.
So what's your specific role?
So I serve as the executive director of the Institute. Basically, I'm the company's chief thought leadership person, so doing a lot of different research and writing, creating education programs for board members. We have now 4 certification programs on different issues, including climate leadership, ESG leadership, cyber risk and strategy, and we just launched recently registration for our newest program, which is on AI ethics and board oversight. So we're always trying to see what are the topics that are driving a lot of conversation in the boardroom, where's the pressure coming on boards from both a regulatory and compliance standpoint, and what are some of the areas that they feel the least well-prepared to oversee risk in, and then we try to build programs around those questions, around those issues. Who knows what will come next, but we keep an eye on the trends, and there's always going to be a new program coming soon.
There are multiple missions of the Diligent Institute. Could you tell us what those are?
Yeah, so Diligent Institute really is designed around helping board members and senior leaders of organizations be effective in their roles. So our mission is to inform, educate, and champion leaders to promote governance excellence. The idea being that if we help leaders be prepared and perform governance in a really excellent capacity, they're going to help their organizations and, by extension, all of those organizations' stakeholders. What we do is modest. We're providing research, writing good thought leadership, providing two shows. We have a podcast called The Corporate Director Podcast. We have a weekly web show called Inside Today's Boardrooms. And then we do our certification programs as well. And then we've also recently begun putting together peer-to-peer networking programs. The first one that we're launching is called the Next Gen Board Leaders Program. It's actually been in existence for a little while. We're building on that to provide other opportunities for directors at different levels to get together, share best practices, share ideas, support one another in these increasingly challenging roles of being a director. And then in addition, we have something called Director Network, which is a software program that allows directors both to find their next board opportunity and allows recruiters to find great candidates and allows directors to find one another. So we're all about how can we help directors and executives do their jobs more effectively.
So you've got the specific training, you've got the thought leadership, you've got the, I don't want to say current events, but certainly contemporary issues that you're discussing on an ongoing basis. Let me turn to the certifications. And you detailed for us what the certifications you offer are, but could you describe in a little more detail what a director or other person would have to go through to receive a certification?
No, sure. I'm happy to. So the programs that we've developed really are all designed to be turnkey. So you don't have to show up at a certain date and time or a certain location. It's all done online through our e-learning platform called Diligent Academy. And basically, each one of the courses can be completed in just a couple hours. Depending on the certification program that you're trying to achieve, there may be four courses or five or six, really just depending on the subject matter. And so you go through these at your own pace. You have up to a year to complete all the coursework. The courses themselves include video, they include written components, interactive exercises, quizzes, that sort of thing. And then when you finish, there's an exam. So the final exam is a timed exam. Again, you take it yourself online, and it's an open book exam. It's really meant to test your understanding of the concepts that are presented throughout the program. When you've completed all that work and you pass the exam, then you receive the certification. So we send you an actual physical certificate. You also get a digital credential that you can put onto LinkedIn or other social media platforms. And we also give you language that you can insert into your next proxy filing or into your annual report or just your board bio to make sure people understand that you have this credential and that you've completed all this coursework. So again, really designed to be very practical.
What is the Diligent Forum?
So Diligent Forum is one of the new peer programs that we are putting together that allow directors to come together, connect with one another, and support one another. So there's a couple different flavors of this, but Diligent Forum is usually about a day or a day and a half. We'll have them in different cities, and basically directors come together around a particular theme or topic. And then we bring in guest speakers who are experts in those fields. The entire event is closed door, kept just peer-to-peer, kept small, so intentionally 30 to 50 people at the max. And basically everything's under Chatham House rules. So you have the opportunity to really be candid and get useful, kind of unvarnished feedback and reactions from your peers, as well as speaking with experts in the field.
From your work in this area, particularly in educating boards about governance, do you find this sort of robust, I'm not quite sure what the word is, different varieties of inputs, different varieties of education, different varieties of conversation really allows a board director to not only know more, grow more, but ask the questions that they need to ask?
Definitely. I think this is something that directors are largely pretty hungry for, right? And often corporate secretaries, general counsels, those working inside the company to try to help boards are looking for this kind of information that they can bring to their directors. Every director is constantly on lifelong learning journey. You can't do that job if you don't take that approach. A job just gets harder and harder. If you think about it, 10 years ago, it would have been unheard of to hear someone talking about AI in the boardroom unless they were discussing a science fiction movie. But now you'd be hard-pressed to find a board that's not talking about AI. And yet, it's the same people in those boardrooms. It's not like they suddenly went out and filled the boardrooms with AI experts. And board members have to be really nimble. They have to find ways to at least understand these complex areas well enough that they can ask the right questions, to your point. They can ask these probing questions. They can hold management accountable. They can make sure that they're doing a good job of overseeing risk and steering the company toward the best strategy that's going to have the best outcomes for their stakeholders. That's a really hard job, and it just keeps getting harder. And so one of the things that we're trying to do with these educational programs is just provide more offerings. There's some areas where there are other programs out there, and that's great, but they also have their unique flavor, right? Like they might just be focused on the US, or they might be just the voice of one institution of higher learning. And what we try to do at Diligent is something a little bit different. Our programs are really designed to be global in scope because, frankly, especially when you're talking about technology, nothing is regional. The internet doesn't have walls. It doesn't have boundaries or state borders. It's global. And so things like the GDPR that was enacted in the EU definitely impacts American firms. And so you have to have this global perspective. And the other thing we try to do is make sure the programs feature a chorus of voices, not just one perspective or one idea. But as Diligent, we're a neutral party. We can bring in academics from different institutions. We can bring in law enforcement. We can bring in regulators. We can bring in attorneys. We can bring in experts who are practitioners in the field and bring all of those in for the sake of the board members. So it's almost like they're getting the best in a really short, easy format that they can take at their own time leisure. So it's just a good kind of convenient way for them to get up to speed on some of these complex areas.
I had one colleague who was a board member who described to me his biggest concern or problem was asymmetrical information. And by that, he meant, was he getting the information so that he could do his job? And he happened to be on the audit committee. But how do you, in the context of the Diligent Institute, how do you train people to get the right information to the board? Or is that just a different audience, a CEO, a CO, a CFO? How can you get the right information to the board so they can suit up, show up, and speak up?
Yeah, it's a great question, Tom. And it's something that we do challenge ourselves with as we build these programs. Every single one of our programs so far has featured at least one module, if not more than that, on how do you build a good relationship with the in-house experts at your organization on this topic. So for example, in our climate leadership program, what should be the relationship between the board and the chief sustainability officer if the organization has one, or whomever has been placed in charge of climate disclosures and getting that information to the board? For the cyber program, it's what should the relationship look like between the board and the CISO? And often what we're finding is that not just board members are taking these programs, but in fact, we're seeing chief sustainability officers take the climate program and chief information security officers take the cyber risk and strategy program, precisely because they don't feel they have a good, solid relationship with the board and they want to improve upon it. So they really want to understand, how can I speak better to the board? How can I get them the information they need? And sometimes it's about both of them going through the program. But even if that's not the case, what we can do is help directors ask better questions. If they're asking really pointed, informed questions, and they feel really confident about the kind of information they should get back in response to that question, then that helps to coach and nudge that internal professional to give the board the information they need to be more proactive. So for example, if you know the board has been used to getting reports from the CISO that just look at the number of thwarted cyber attempts in the past quarter, that's not really very useful information for the board. That doesn't really help them move the needle in terms of risk oversight or in terms of strategy as it relates to their digital posture. But if instead they start to ask the CISO some really better questions about what is our framework? How are we employing this framework? How are we testing it? How are we making sure that it's strong? Now they start to get a different kind of information from the CISO. So the questions the board asks are critical to getting the information they need to really do their jobs well. That's one of the things we try to make sure to include in the program. Every course comes at the end with a list of questions for board members to think about asking at their next board meeting. And then what kinds of answers should they hopefully get in response? Not just the question, but also what kinds of answers.
Another great resource from the Diligent Institute is your research papers. So I wanted to ask you about a few of those. The first one being Sustainability in the Spotlight, is ESG losing momentum? And is ESG losing momentum, or have we just reached a different phase?
It's really fascinating. So this was the second year in a row that we did this study in concert with Spencer Stewart. They're really great partners for us to work with. And this was a global study. We had over 1,000 responses. About 992 individual board members ended up being represented in the final report. And to answer your question, Tom, no, ESG is not losing momentum. What it might be losing is publicity. So what we learned is that companies are doing a lot. And in fact, directors and senior leaders, they're not backing away from dealing with issues of climate and social policy. They're not backing away from these issues at all. They maybe are just doing it a little bit more quietly than maybe they did in 2020, in part because of some of the political backlash in the US. But it's incredibly important to recognize there are major differences around the world in how boards are approaching this. And just to give a couple of examples, we asked a question about whether or not companies or boards view ESG issues in terms of opportunity or in terms of risk. And it was a really fascinating difference between the EU and the US. In the EU, 56% of companies see ESG issues as opportunities. In the US, only 30% see ESG as an opportunity. In Europe, only 13% of companies view ESG through the lens of risk. And in the US, 34% of companies view ESG through the lens of risk. I found that really interesting because I think it might be one of the only examples I can think of where US companies are less optimistic than European companies. That just seems really interesting to me, and less opportunistic than European companies. It just seems like it's backwards. But one thing I will say we were very surprised about in the results, we asked about what are the biggest obstacles to ESG progress. What board members told us, hands down, it's they don't have enough visibility to how the ESG goals that have been set link to the overall corporate strategy. So basically what they're telling us is, we just don't get enough visibility into how this is going. We set these goals and we don't really see how does that link to the overall corporate strategy. How can we make sure that we're doing things in line with that strategy? Only 2% said that an obstacle is political and public backlash. So that tells you something. If only 2% are saying this is the biggest challenge, there's probably a lot more noise in the media than actual concern at boardroom tables.
The next paper is Director Confidence Index. And here the question I want to pose is, are we moving in the right direction? And I guess from my viewpoint, it is the board has so much on its plate, both in terms of breadth and scope. Have we basically placed boards in an untenable position?
That's a really hard question. I've been thinking about this for a while, Tom, whether or not eventually that director seat might become less palatable. I wonder if there's going to come a day where companies are going to find it hard to get candidates to serve on their boards because it is becoming a really unwieldy job. But just to talk a little bit about the Director Confidence Index for a moment, this is a report that we've been doing for 3 years running with Corporate Board Member Magazine, excellent partners. And this is a monthly pulse check survey. So we do a survey every single month. Basically, it's public company directors, it's US focused. And we just ask about their confidence in current business conditions and where they think those business conditions are going to be 6 months from now. And then we also will sometimes add in a research question or two just to test the waters and see if that's an area that we should spend some more time asking further questions and doing more research. It is really interesting. Now that we've been running this for 3 years, what I can say is that hands down, the most ebullient that directors ever were was the month that the COVID-19 vaccination was announced in 2021. So when that was announced, they were off the charts excited about the economic conditions. They've never really reached those heights again. Instead, they've been much more circumspect over the last 2 years about whether the economic conditions are improving, trending down, or staying flat. And it differs month to month. And I think that speaks very much to the volatility that we've seen in the economy over the last couple of years. Some things are trending positively. Other things are trending negatively. It's a little bit of a topsy-turvy picture. I know the Fed is struggling with this. They keep raising rates and they're not sure if they should. It's been an interesting time. And we see that very much come out in the questions that we ask our directors. Just a couple of findings to share there. The Fed obviously continues to raise interest rates. They just raised another quarter of a point just a few weeks back. And that drove a wave of renewed optimism among public company directors in the US. So the outlook went back up to levels that have really been unseen since July of 2021, not quite at the vaccine announcement peak, but close to it. And so I think we are starting to see a little bit more optimism on the parts of directors for what's going to be coming in the next 6 months.
Let me ask about the paper entitled What Directors Think. And this seems to me to be an absolutely key resource What is your perspective on this document?
This is one of my favorite reports that we do each year. So we've been doing this also for 3 years with Corporate Board Member. But Corporate Board Member has been running that same survey for 20 years. So they have just a great back catalog of data and reference points for kind of everything directors think. And that's what it is. It's an opinion survey asking what is on the minds of directors. We do that, field that survey usually in the third and fourth quarter of the year, and then release the report right after the new year. And it's great because it always gives us this window into what we can expect to see over the coming year. Last year, lots of comments about the difficulties of digital transformation. That was a kind of an easy layup. I think everybody knew this was going to be a heavy-duty technology focus year. I'm not sure everyone knew that AI would be the focus, but it is really interesting. And one of the things that we always are finding, we ask directors, what areas of risk do they find the most challenging to oversee? Without fail, digital transformation and cybersecurity are always either one and two or two and three. They are always the hardest things for directors to oversee. We also thought it was interesting this year because we asked directors what's something that they use as a measure of how well the company's performing. For the first time ever, we saw an interesting result. 49% of directors rated customer satisfaction as the most important indicator of a company's success, beating out total shareholder return for the first time ever in the 20 years of this survey. So what that said to us is that directors are really seeing a more nuanced picture. They're not just looking at the financials to determine success. They're realizing that your financials could be strong, but your reputation could be weak if customers aren't satisfied with what you're providing them. So it's definitely a more complex picture that directors are seeing. And I think that falls right in line with everything we've been talking about so far, Tom, that this job is just getting harder. Directors have to keep their eyes on more and more data. And some of the biggest issues that they were monitoring for this year, Fed policy, interest rates, labor costs, labor availability, the regulatory environment, that's a broad set of issues. Throw into that mix AI and cybersecurity, and welcome to directorship. It's a hard job.
Let me ask you where you see the Diligent Institute heading down the road.
That's a great question. What I hope is that eventually Diligent Institute is a household word among directors. I think a lot of directors have already heard of Diligent. Most of them are using our software to run their board meetings. We hope that more of them will take advantage of these resources that we're providing to them. Most of the stuff that we provide is free of charge. It's available widely on our website. What we really hope is just more people will engage with us, hopefully participate in our surveys when we do them. We only do a couple a year. And then really just make good use of what we're providing and give us feedback. If there are things that you would like us to provide more information about or questions that you have, we really want to hear from directors on a more frequent basis. What is it that we can do to be helpful?
Nadia, unfortunately, we are near the end of our time for this episode. But before we leave, if our listeners wanted any more information on yourself or the Diligent Institute, what would be the best place or places for them to go?
A couple different resources. The first would be to come to our website. That's diligentinstitute.com. And then also, if you're interested, check out our shows, the Corporate Director Podcast and Inside Today's Boardrooms. Both of those are available weekly, and we'd love to get your feedback.
And even if you're not a board director, check out this website. The resources are fabulous. And if you report to a board, you need to know what they need to know. So whether you're on a board or not, check out this website. The resources are great. And I, for one, am looking forward to you and I continuing this conversation.
Thanks so much, Tom. It's a pleasure being here with you.
This is Tom Fox again. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the FCPA Compliance Report. If you've enjoyed this episode, I hope you'll subscribe, rate, and review wherever great podcasts are listened to. I'd like to tell you about two great new podcasts on the Compliance Podcast Network. Adventures in Compliance, where I look at the intersection of Sherlock Holmes, leadership, compliance, and business ethics. I'm doing all of the Sherlock Holmes stories as well as the novels. Another is Report from ECI 2023, where I interviewed speakers, guests, and participants at ECI 2023. I know you'll enjoy both of these new podcasts.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.